worked as when the federal government got programs going that would provide funds for students. I worked on campus doing various things, clerical work at the registrar's office. I worked on a switchboard as a relief operator. I worked in the gym, the women's gym, one semester just handing out clean towels. I worked for at least one semester in the lost and found office, which was a chair and a table in the office of the Dean of Women. But I got paid 10 cents an hour for that. So any job that was available that I could do, I did, yes.
So all 4 years you were there, were you working?
Well, really, it was only the last three. The first year, don't forget, I had my benefactor, $25 a month, quite a lot of money. Besides, Franklin Roosevelt hadn't been in office in 1931, but in 1932, then things started picking up, so that there was money available to not only for students, but for grown men working on the WPA and the CCC and other make work programs.
Yeah, there's some evidence of that on the campus, benches and the
aspect ball. Yes, there's a lot. My father worked on the campus, and I'm sure that some of his work probably is still there. He worked on the Aztec Shack, now, so that I know is gone. No, the shack, I don't know when it disappeared, but it really was a shack. It was one layer of lumber on the inside and the same layer of lumber on the outside and unpainted. It was crude and unfinished because it was temporary. I didn't know it was temporary, but the authorities did. But he did some work there and possibly some other places on the campus. Some of it might still be standing, but he worked there. We were together for one semester at least.
Oh, so because of your family's financial situation, you are working to pay for college or to help out your family?
Both.
Yes, construction would be at a low at that time.
Well, it certainly wasn't paying the way it is today. And don't forget, he was not working really for a contract. He was working for the WPA. And that was a set figure. The government set the figure.
Through the hardships, were there any, I understand you live with your sister and her family, so that unfortunately is a hardship, and that you didn't have your family didn't have kind of like its own place. Were there any periods of time that your family would just kind of look at each other and think that you're not even going to make it through?
No, it was never, the subject never came up.
Do you have any, perhaps, fond memories of the Depression? Like, did it teach you anything?
Yes, indeed. It taught me to be very careful how I spend money, to avoid going into debt.
Some people say that, you know, hardship brings families together. Is that true in your case?
No, I don't think so.
Family situation kind of stayed the same, or perhaps worse?
About the same.
Getting back to the campus, or the school, on the first day of school, when you walked onto that new campus, do you happen to remember what was going through your mind?
Well, I was overdressed. I can tell you that. I was dressed for the coldest winter weather. And it wasn't September out at Stanley Arrow State College. It's not really the coldest month of the year. So I quickly learned to leave the woolens at home and get back into cottons. The first several days, of course, are not really classes. It's orientation, find your way around, attend lectures on this subject and that subject, and listen to our link letter, or tell you what you could expect in the way of hazing as freshmen. Have someone else give you a pep talk about the athletic events. Make your way around. We probably spent 5 days out there before classes really started.
Did you have any impressions? I mean, that was a brand new campus, and here you are going to college in sort of the days of, you know, hard times. Isn't there something you felt when you stepped onto that campus?
No. I have no recollections of that kind.
On your questionnaire, says transportation is state. You have on here hitched a ride. Now, in my mind, hitched a ride means you have your thumb out on the street corner.
Well, I was on the street corner, and it wasn't necessary to have the thumb out. At the time we're talking about, San Diego had a very good streetcar system. But the system that served East San Diego ran along University and terminated at Euclid. Well, when the state opened up present campus, the bus company, the streetcar company, put a bus on that had its run from Euclid and University down Euclid to El Cajon and then out El Cajon and to the campus. There was nothing else out there. Nobody ever got aboard that bus. It didn't have the college or the streetcar as a destination, except me. And I lived at 48th and El Cajon. So I might be standing out there waiting for the bus, and somebody would come along and say, you're going to school, and that was based on, I wasn't standing out there hitching from anybody that came along. It would always be a fellow student who would recognize. Nobody else had business out going out in that direction. There was no business. There were no houses. It was just emptiness between Euclid and what is now College Avenue. Nothing.
Yes, I saw a picture of the school back then. It's like nothing. Mm-hmm. Unlike today, where it's filled up. Getting back to the Depression era, I was just, nowadays, kids, to escape life, some unfortunately take drugs. Did you ever want to kind of like escape for a while, you know, just mentally escape? I mean, not necessarily chemicals, but like, was there something you enjoyed doing that was sort of an escape from the daily hardships or just to forget about things for a while?
No, I don't think so. The escape, as I saw it, and I think probably as a lot of the others did, was get the degree and get a job.
Basically, school was just on your mind, and as long as you had that, other things kind of washed away. I see you got to listen to the radio every day. Is that kind of...
Of course, there was no television. So, yes, the radio certainly was a great source of entertainment.
Was that kind of also an escape for a while? Did they have kind of serial shows back then?
Oh, yes. And I suppose it could be called escape. I certainly didn't consider it that at the time, but One Man's Family was extremely popular. There were so-called mysteries, and I can't quote them to you because both I didn't listen to. That there were children's programs in the afternoons of 4 o'clock or something like that after school. And these were serious in the sense that they were the same characters that had assorted adventures daily.
I noticed on here that New Deal programs you said it was beneficial. I understand it was beneficial to your father. Was it beneficial to you as well?
Yes, indeed. Out of all those jobs I had on campus, paying 25 cents an hour, came from the New Deal.
How were the faculty at that time and the staff? Were they just there to teach you, or were they there to help you and perhaps help you cope with the depression?
Well, it's a matter of which individual we are discussing. I don't suppose you know the name Harry Steinmetz. Well, he was like not very much older than the students at that time, but he was teaching psychology. And I think that, and of course we had great psychology classes. I think we had one psychology one, psychology two, maybe. But he took an interest in his students, and he got publicity in the Aztec once when he said, if you're lonesome, if you'd like to meet somebody, if you'd like to have a date, wave this copy of the Aztec. Well, now you know nobody on campus was going to do that, but Harry was trying.
So nobody waved the Aztec?
I'm not going to say nobody did, but gee, who let down defenses to that extent?
Was there any, did you have, besides this gentleman, did you have any favorite teachers or ones that you really remember who left a great impression upon you?
No, I can't say that I had a favorite. This is going on the tape, then I'm not going to say it. There were people in the education department that I intensely disliked, and I still dislike the Department of Education because I think it has no function at all. You teach people who are going to go on teaching something of substance. You get them thoroughly grounded in their subject. You don't teach them how to teach. They either know how to teach or they don't. And the requirements of the Department of Education are ludicrous.
Nowadays, what they do is you graduate your major and then you go on to the credential program. I guess that's, in a sense, what you would rather have seen. That
I would rather have seen the Department of Education wiped out.
Now, according to your questionnaire, I was looking here. You said that during the question you had some hardships, but then I also noticed you also had some, basically all the luxuries of that day.
Well, we didn't consider them luxuries. Today, I will grant you, yes, a telephone was a luxury, but we didn't always have a telephone. Sometimes we would cross the street and go to the drugstore and use that phone. Hot water, we had. But that's still a luxury today in many parts of the world. We had electricity, but everybody did. Now, it may be that in other parts of the country, but in San Diego, this was simply common. It was a standard of living practically everywhere. Everybody had electricity. Everybody had indoor plumbing. Everybody had a radio.
About a refrigerator and a washing machine?
Well, that's my sister. She was determined to have them, so she had them.
So she married well.
She worked hard, too.
What did she do?
She worked as a receptionist in a doctor's office. You say she married well. She was married to a Navy man. That was being well married in those days in San Diego. It was the Navy that kept San Diego from knowing what depression really was, because there was always a payroll. Twice a month, the Navy was paid, and well, we spent money on food and paid the payment on the car and all the rest of it.
going to... You said you really... Well... You said you really... You didn't really say that there was any really memorable experience at that time. But it... your situation... Going to the school, your situation has since improved. It was definitely a benefit to you.
Without a doubt.
Your prospects in life improved because of the
school? Well, I think yes. In fact, but...
Even though you didn't use your degree, per se, for, you didn't go into the teaching.
Well, I was not credentialed, but I have taught for many years. When I lived in Germany, I went to a German public high school and just spoke. Just talked with some of the students who were studying English, but their English teachers had studied in England. They had English accents. So to give them familiarity with different accents, and a group of women volunteered, and we talked about anything. We did their homework frequently. But it made no difference. They were hearing American English. For 10 years, I worked at UCSD, again, with language, foreign students who felt that their English needed a little bolstering, a little help somewhere, or if not the student, the student's spouse, or in one case, a mother. So I have taught, but I haven't been a credential teacher.
So, even though... When you went to the dean that day and you were kind of down on teaching, you seemed to have turned back to teaching.
Well, I just did it my way. I didn't do it the School of Education's way.
Okay, what is the best way sometimes? So, according to your questionnaire, it says your career objective was just to earn money, so you didn't really have any clear goal as to how you wanted to do it. You just...
Well, I'll tell you, when I got married, my husband said to me, why don't you make a career out of being a wife? So I did.
I guess in those days that was what you were supposed to do. Going back to your time, 30s, 40s, 50s, what kind of changes have you seen through all these years? Right now, of course, we're in a recession and things are going bad again. But have people really changed throughout the years? Have you seen a change in people?
You know, it's very difficult to answer that question. I would say yes, but it may be that I was simply ignorant when I was younger. My recollection is the politicians really were not so sleazy as they are today. Obviously, we didn't have the negative television ads because we didn't have television. I don't remember anybody using the radio, any politician using the radio. They got out on trains and did whistle stops and have meetings and posters and whatnot. But it could be that they're just as dishonest as they are today. Certainly we had scandals. Eisenhower lost his right-hand man because of a scandal. Before that, back in the 20s, the Teapot Dome. So maybe people have not changed. Maybe they've always been good, bad, short, tall, pink and blue, and whatnot.
So perhaps the media might have changed the perception? Perhaps made it more known to everybody that perhaps people didn't necessarily change, but it's just we can see the bad more.
I think it is easier, yes, especially with television. A man stands up and reveals himself very quickly, but not everybody sees.
From the time you graduated until now, how's your life gone since then? I mean, was your life ever as hard as it was during the Depression?
No.
The Depression was the hardest time. So did things get progressively better or was there some stumbles in there?
No, my husband was San Diego native. There aren't very many of them. And he lived a state for 2 years. And then he dropped out and worked for a year because he intended to go to Georgetown, which had a school of foreign service. He wanted to travel, and he had to do it at somebody else's expense. So the government seemed like a good way to do it, going to the foreign service. And therefore, he knew what he was going to study when he got to Georgetown, and he followed the program. But one of his professors took him aside and said, unless you have a private income, don't go into the State Department. The pay isn't enough. You will see people promoted over you, and you know they're inferior to you, but they can afford to support the job. So go into the private, the Foreign Service of Industry. So that's what he did. And he'd only been in his first job for 6 months when we had our first foreign experience. Then after the war, again, we had a second foreign. So we lived a lot of our lives overseas. And this is rewarding in many ways. It also has another side to it. You suffer a lot of losses that way, too, because you don't have any roots. But each move that was made, each new location, was a step upward. In satisfaction and in rewards, gratification. So going through state was emphatically a decided benefit to me. And it was upward and upward and upward.
At the time you were at State, did you have many friends that attended school along with you?
Well, yes, because I had graduated from San Diego High School, and most of the students on campus at State had at one time or another graduated from San Diego High School. It was the only high school in San Diego. There was one out on Point Loma. There was one down in Chula Vista. Hoover had just opened. But still, most of the students at State had come from San Diego High School, so I knew a lot of them. But you don't have I didn't have time for a lot of intimate friends because there was homework to be done every night. There were other things to be done. So yes, I'd say I had a lot of friends. But I don't know where most of them are today, because I was away from San Diego from 1935 until 1970-something, except for short visits. And the ones who, the females that got married, changed their name. A lot of them have died. Many of them have moved away. So I don't know a lot of them. I've gone to the 50th reunion of the high school, and I knew very few people. And I went to the 50th reunion at State and knew so few that I won't go back. My friends aren't there. They're strangers.